Our devotion today, or maybe it's best to just call it a Sunday school meditation, has to do with Christian growth. Title of this is, How is Your Eye? I managed to wake up with a troubled heart today. I think some of us, probably all of us, I would say all of us, from time to time will wake up and have just some things on our heart and on our mind, and we're troubled, and we need the Lord's help to figure it out, and we hope to make progress by faith when we start a day like this. Well, that was a day that I experienced. And I had some things on my mind when I went to bed. They were still on my mind when I woke up. And what had happened was the day before and the evening before, I was offended by something. And really, if I'm just honest, it was my immaturity. It was my lack of progress in an area of my life. There's a subject or a circumstance that the Lord brings back to my attention. And I thought, you know, it would be good for us to think about why there are some areas in our life that are difficult to grow in. And I thought it would be helpful for you to bring to your mind how the Lord addresses your heart when your heart is hard, when you're having a hard time growing in the area where the Lord would have you mature. Well, both the books of Matthew and Luke record the Lord Jesus teaching about natural and spiritual sight. Matthew 6 and Luke 11 record the Lord Jesus teaching about what you see with your natural eye and what you see with a spiritual eye. Let me read to you verse 34. Luke 11:34 makes this comment. The lesson is different in Matthew and Luke, but Luke 11:34 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness." Well, as I was saying, both Luke and Matthew spoke about Christ teaching about a man's lamp. Both of these scripture writers who the Spirit moved to write wrote about this subject. But they wrote about it from different perspectives, or they wrote about it actually telling different stories. It's not that one got it right and the other one didn't. I believe this subject of the Lord speaking about a lamp and the Lord teaching about what we see with the light of the lamp and then what we do with what we see, this is a subject that the Lord Jesus taught on multiple occasions. And that's why Matthew 6 has one incident and Luke 11 has a different incident. In the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus was teaching about time and money, how men use their time. The man who sees with a lamp of dark light sees the advantage of serving money. Jesus taught that a good lamp would reveal great and unseen profits by investing for and in God's kingdom. So the lamp that the Lord Jesus commends you to helps you realize, helps you understand that what you do in this life with your time and your money has profit and has reward in the life after this life. So the Lord Jesus taught his followers to not be fooled by the lure of riches. Don't look at the world with that lamp. Don't look at the world with this light. The Lord Jesus even said that you are self-deceived if you do part-time for the world's wealth and part-time for God. Matthew 6:24 says that, and I would encourage you to write that verse down and think about this teaching that the Lord Jesus returns to in his ministry. Luke's gospel says Christ also considered man's response to his teaching as an application of the lamp metaphor. One of the examples given in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11 there is that the people of Nineveh heard the preaching of their guilt and judgment. They heard their death being pronounced through Jonah. And so death was on their immediate horizon. The threat of God's punishment was there before them, but they saw with good light. They saw what was in their future, and they repented. And Jesus praised the people of Nineveh for their ability to see. And he actually compared the people of Israel and the people of Jerusalem with their inability to see. He criticized them and he cautioned them and he said, you don't see the way the people of Nineveh saw. And the people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment and they will testify against you. They will be witnesses against you. They will say, in other words, we heard preaching that was for our judgment and we repented. That's all we needed to hear. That's all we needed to know. And we repented. We believed God. So the Lord Jesus is teaching the people of Israel that they have enough to see, they have enough to understand, but they won't understand. They won't see. The Lord used this metaphor so you would picture the advantage of good light versus bad light. Jesus taught men they shouldn't see things with the world's eyes. Jesus taught them, don't do what you feel like, but instead do what the Lord Jesus teaches. Has Christ shown you the way to life through belief in his death and resurrection? Then you must believe he also taught you how to live now. If you have begun trusting Christ for eternal life, then you also believe he has taught you how to live today. And something the Lord has taught his disciples, something very fundamental that Jesus taught his followers, is that we die to ourselves and we live to Christ. This is a simple, basic Christian teaching. When I hear truth, when you hear truth, what do you do? What do I do? The truths that I know and own and walk in, the things that find understanding and agreement in me, I can hear and glorify the Lord for. The truth that exposes ungodly hypocrisy in me, preaching and scripture that reveals my hypocrisy or exposes an unloving heart, these kinds of teachings can be both received and resisted. We often fail to deal with this conflict as Christians because we like our own light. Does Scripture have words for a person who prefers his own understanding? Would you believe me if I said the Scripture just calls it evil? John 3:19 says, Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light, in the teaching of both Matthew and Luke, light is how you and I understand. Light is what we apply, is what we perceive, and how we go about deciding. Is your light from God's truth, or is your light from your preferences and your opinions? Part of me likes my darkness and does not welcome God's light of truth, especially when it exposes my ungodly preferences, especially when it exposes my instincts as being wrong and as being wicked. We find ourselves sometimes in a conflict with our Lord and with His Word. And instead of dealing with these conflicts, I can ignore them, or I can find convincing reasons to hold my ground, to maintain my position. An example of this is how I naturally feel, or how, by my own instinct, I feel toward people who ask for handouts. This is an ongoing struggle in my heart, I'm ashamed to admit. My attitude toward people who want handouts is not Christ-like. The light of my lamp shows me that these people who don't carry their weight don't deserve my help. My own light compels me to avoid offering them what they ask for. But Christ, by His Word and by the conviction of His Spirit, brings the light of life to bear and accuses me. I'm wrong. And the Lord Jesus is right. What do I do? How do I respond if I feel a tinge of guilt? Or if a Christian friend chides me for my unscriptural thoughts and behavior? Well, this kind of situation requires serious attention, because we may be hardening our hearts to the Spirit. Very often you will find that you have actually hardened and maintain a hard heart against the Spirit in these areas where you have sins that you nurture and protect. What does God's Spirit require? Should we develop arguments in our hearts defending our position? Or should we avoid thinking about it? My guilt and confrontation should have one response, and this is your response as well. Listen, Proverbs 28:13. When you feel this conviction, when you understand this hypocrisy in yourself, here is your response. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You see that? Is Proverb 28 and verse 13 a simple answer to this? Of course it is. Do not cover your sins. Confess and forsake them. 1 John 1:9 offers a similar advice. It's not an advice, it's just a simple statement of what the Christian life involves. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's Holy Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. I will profit and gain in hearing and walking according to God's Word. Therefore, I will confess my sin, my attitude towards the needy person, my attitude toward the person who asks from me is a sin. I will confess my sin. This is a joy of salvation. We can go to a Lord who is forgiving and who will teach us. Agree with God, Christian. Agree with Him. Confess your sin. What else? What else does the Spirit require of you? Repentance. Romans 6, 1-4 gives you some insight into how we work our way through this life with sin pressing on and in us. Look at Romans 6, 1-4. Give you a second to find it there. Romans 6, verse 1. You can hit pause if you need to. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ was put to death for sin. He wore the sin of the redeemed and died so that sin's penalty might be wrought on him. Should we do those things which cost the Lord of glory his life and not confess and apologize? Did his death somehow annul the offense of sin? No, sin remains offensive to God. And the sins that we might practice, not only are they offensive, they are corrupting to you and I as image bearers of God. When God's word reveals sin, it reveals unholiness and ungodliness. Christians are image bearers of God. We don't walk around in the image of corrupt men willingly if we are image bearers of God. So sin remains sin. It remains offensive to God. It's awfully and terribly offensive to God. Don't continue in sin. We do not walk in sin and mock the Lord's sentence and judgment. No, we live with a reverence to the holiness of our God. The lamp referred to in the teachings of Matthew and Luke, the lamp shows the believer the way of confession and repentance and life. The lamp shows the believer that the labors of this life affect the life to come. Don't be fooled by temporal offerings of pleasure and comfort. That's the light of this world. That's the lamp of this life and this world. Don't be fooled by it. The Lord Jesus has taught us to see the world and its promises with the light of heaven, with the light of the kingdom of God. So instead, we fix eternity in our sights. Our eyes are looking forward to the life to come. So I would encourage you to read Luke 11 and read Matthew 6 and spend some time prayerfully thinking about what the Lord has revealed to you. What has he shown to you, but maybe you have chosen to ignore? What if you allowed your heart to become hard in? Let the Lord open your eyes and bring you to confession and bring you to repentance. Romans 13 and verse 14. Romans 13 and verse 14 say, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Put on the Lord Jesus. Wear the Lord Jesus in the mind of the Lord Jesus, in the actions of the Lord Jesus. Put him on. Make no provision for your flesh to fulfill its lusts. Putting on Christ means to walk and think in him and not in you. when I complain in my heart at why I shouldn't help someone who asks me for something to eat, I must reckon this man, Mike, I must reckon him dead, because I died with Christ and I put on Christ. I put on Christ who says, give to him who asks, in Matthew 5:42. Also, consider God's mercy to me. I need to remember God's mercy to me and his mercy to men every day. The sons of God are gracious and merciful, the same way God is gracious and merciful. Luke 6:30-36. Look at Luke 6:30-36. This passage says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And what that means is you shouldn't loan to your friends with usury. You shouldn't hope to profit from your friend's need, is what I understand that verse to be saying there. So when somebody loans some money to their friend, we don't do it to try to profit off of their hard time. And then he says, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. This verse is how God's light reveals the life that I need to walk in. This is how I put on Christ. This is how I look at needy people. I don't look at them with my harsh judgment of their unworthiness. No, I must repent of that. And I must be merciful as my Father in heaven is merciful. The world sees, and what it sees and behaves like is according to what it wants. If the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? But our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to see with light from this other world. He's taught us to see with eyes of faith. He's taught us to live according to what he's revealed to us. May Christ, the Lord, comfort your hearts with faith in his perfect goodness and his glorious promises. 1 John 1:7 teaches us, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's close in another word of prayer together. I pray that this might encourage your hearts to stay in the fight against your natural resistance against the Lord. Don't resist him. Soften your hearts. Let him teach you. Let him show you how to live. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, we love you, Lord. Dear God, we thank you that you brought the Lord Jesus to us. We thank you that the wisdom of heaven, the King of glory, came to earth. God, we thank you that he came to teach us. We thank you that he came to offer patience and grace to us. Oh Lord, help us to submit our own hearts to you. Help us to be a reflection of your grace and mercy. Lord, we need to be humble people before you. Help us to not be hard-hearted. Lord, help us to be a reflection of you and your greatness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.